right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode of Life from the Lair. Now, today we're doing something a little different. I was sent a book by Aaron Clary. I have reviewed a couple of his books in the past. The one I enjoyed better, more than this one, was the Book of Numbers.
And it quite possibly is the best book ever written because I'm in it! Winning!
I would say the Book of Numbers and this new book he has right here are pretty much on par with the quality and the information that you get.
Know anyone who could use a good ass chewing?
I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
But what if you could get that message delivered by an authentic drill instructor who spent 33 years in the Army?
Ha ha ha!
You asked for it. For just $35, you can get a customized knife hand ass chewing for a person of your choice straight from the Popster.
I think you aren't even good enough to whiff the farts from a dog's ass!
And monthly supporters of the regiment receive a $10 discount.
I am hard, but I am fair!
Use the Cash App code on the screen to send your donation along with notes on the person whose ass needs chewing, and the Popster will handle the rest.
So, shut the fuck up!
Now, typically, I'm not really a reading kind of guy, because I have dyslexia and it causes a lot of problems. But if the cause is just, the word in the material that I'm covering is true, then I have no choice but to dig into it. So let me put on my old man reading glasses here. All right, so Aaron Clary, I met him in person, good dude. I don't have any negative detractors at all, except for the fact he likes to smoke too many cigars. But, you know, to each his own. I myself am not a smoker of anything. I was shocked at some of the information that he has here that I didn't know anything about. And I've been doing this men's right stuff since roughly 2009. Case in point here. He covers three different types of hatred women have for men. And the amount of thought he put in this has blew me away, because in my book, you know, I just define hatred as hatred. You know, and if you operate in, you know, a hate-filled mind, the best you're going to do is maneuver in one dimension.
Let's pretend that's not true.
Yeah.
But he has emotional hatred of men. This form of misandry comes from women's previous failed relationships with men who hurt them. Okay, so this is the equivalent of who hurt you kind of thing. You know, women say to men all the time. And there is a conscious hatred of men that is simply nothing more than rank bigotry. Sorry, I keep touching my nose, but you guys know I have a head injury in it. I'm recovered from in 2004, and one of the horrible side effects, other than migraine headaches, is I constantly have the feeling of insects crawl on my face. So, next one here is ideological hatred. And I would say that this is the hatred that's getting pounded into these young women's heads from like kindergarten on. This one is, I would consider, the most insidious. Because, you know, I went to a grade school in the early 70s, and I saw the first waves of this girl power stuff. Even, you know, I was like 8 or 9 years old. I'm like, what? This is bullshit. Yeah, they're not better than me. You know, in the beginning, before, you know, my testicles dropped and I didn't have testosterone, of course, they were pretty much on an even playing field. But once you hit 13 and the big T hits your bloodstream, it's over for them. But I sat by when I went to school, and I remember high school. It wasn't quite as bad as it is in current year. But, you know, there's all of that women power. You can do anything. And then when I had to go into that same high school when my daughters were there, there was propaganda posters all over the walls, stuck on doors, flyers pinned on the outside, all about girl power, you can do anything, all these support groups for women and the young girls there, nothing for dudes. And I remember going to, it was some kind of performance that my daughter was in, and they had the school class president and the whole, you know, rigmarole of people who were, you know, quote unquote, you know, the student leadership. 85% of them were women. That's a big, big change. I graduated in 1986 from Berkeley High School, Michigan. It was like 10 to 15% of the student leadership we had in the actual high school were women. That's a big change. And that literally happened in 2.5, 3 decades. Chapter 2, What Men and Women Produce and Invent. And he's got this graph in here between contribution to GDP by sex. I did not know this. This is absolutely devastating. When it's 60.5% of our country's GDP is produced by men and 39.5% by women. Here, on the next page, you're going to love this one. When you talk about women's contribution, they have he put in here on one of the columns, government. I have it circled right there. 6,178 to men's 4,475. So these numbers alone are telling me that women have infiltrated the government from the bottom up, top down, and every fucked up layer in between. And our country is now being steered by a bunch of emotionally unstable women who freak out once a month. And quite frankly, it's just a matter of time before one of them has the case with the nuclear button on it. All right. And this one's here. 75% of your food and 80% of your stuff is made by men. Where is it here? Okay. Now, this is ingenious here. He does a comparison right here. This is on page 39, where he compares an all-women's economy to a men's only economy. And the GDP of the only women economy is about $9.9 trillion. And the GDP of an all-male economy is $15.1 trillion. Wow. And you can see the distribution here. The one at the top is the women, and it's pretty much evenly distributed. And down here you have the dudes, where you have different, radically different sizes in this pie chart. I'm going to be honest. I'm flabbergasted at the detail he's gone through to give this information to you guys. So he talks about, on certain portions of our economy, which is maintained and run and executed by men. Automotive service technicians, 98%. Carpenters, 98%. Electricians, 98%. Industrial and factory machine mechanics, 97%. Machinists, 96%. Let's see. Maintenance and repair workers general, 96%. Welding, soldering, and brazing workers. I think he meant soldering, but it's 95.4%. Firefighters, 95.3%. Okay, the numbers don't lie. If you take just the top 10 off of this list, that would get rid of your cars running, your housing, electricity, operating machinery, materials or fabrics, or computers. So basically, our civilization would grind to a screeching fucking halt. He's absolutely correct. I do have to say something here about the firefighters, and I brought this up when I was in college, because for whatever reason, my professor always picked me for the opposite opinion of the class, and it boils down to this. We had some fembots giving their speech or whatever presentation in the front of the class, and it was all about how it's unfair that, you know, women aren't allowed to really be cops, firefighters, or serve in frontline military.
Wah. Wah.
And I raised my hand, and because I'm not going to sit there and say nothing as idiots, you know, vomit forth their lunacy from their fourth point of contact in their mouth, which they put on the fourth point of contact on the regular. But that's a bi-squared equation, bisexual and bipolar. So anyway, I brought it up in class. I'm like, okay, everyone here be honest. Let's say you come home from work. Your house is engulfed in flames. Your children are in there Who do you want to see roll up on your front lawn to take care of this situation? Six 220-pound dudes or six 120 to 140-pound women? There's a big difference between the two. I used to train men for war. I used to push them to their absolute physical and mental limits on the regular. I've watched men run through walls, kick down steel doors, lift and move objects that under normal circumstances would be impossible. I've seen a dude pick another dude up with an obvious broken leg, threw him over his shoulder, and ran 200 meters. Can we be honest here? That's what men bring to the equation, and women don't. It's that simple. And I'm not trying to be a misogynist here or anything like that. I'm just telling you the truth. All right. Now, Aaron Clary does a great job at punching this truth into your fourth point of contact using brutal numbers, logic, and reason. And let's be honest, you can't argue. I mean, he puts the links in here to the web pages where you can find this stuff. www.dol.gov. Agencies, data, occupations. It just doesn't get any more accurate than that. Plain and simple. All right, so he goes through with a list of things men want in women. All right, so he's saying physical youth and beauty. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. Sweet and kind demeanor. That is much appreciated. Willingness and enjoyment of sex. That's a given. Willingness and desire to hang out with him. A good mother to his children. No other man's children, because that's a big fucking headache. Loyalty. And won't divorce him. You know, we have the fit, feminine, friendly, fertile. You know, I got it. That pretty much covers everything on this list. But, you know, Mr. Clary, if you see this video, please, in your next book, you should write something like, you know, what women should bring to the table or something along those lines. Because you can literally write a whole book on just that one section here. And it would answer a lot of questions for these confused women out there who are, in my opinion, have been raised to be third string bench warmer men. And they are not doing a good job, in my opinion. Okay, chapter 6, page 111. He gives basically a synopsis of the Guns of Navarone movie, which I've seen many times and I love. The part that really hit home is he basically, in bold letters right here, he says, your bystanding days are over. A man should take responsibility for his immediate surroundings. And that includes family, friends, what have you, anyone living under your roof or nearby. It is your job as a man to make sure everything moves forward at a calm clip in a productive manner. And if shit is fucked up, it is 100% on you to get on your goddamn feet, walk into the mix. Yeah, you're going to take some hits. That's the way it works. There's going to be pain. Some people might die. That's the price you pay when you're a man. When shit's going down, you don't see a lot of women getting up there and pulling out weapons and pulling out knives and getting ready to, you know, draw that line in the sand and say this far and no farther.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
And I'm using the historic examples going back 6,000 years. There's always dudes. Now, people probably don't want to hear this, and that's fine. I understand. My profession was war. I know everything there is to know about war. And I could tell you men do it much more efficiently than women. There you go. Anyway, this is my review of this book, Aaron Clary. This is a masterpiece. In my opinion, you should go out and put this in your library and just read through it Because there's a lot of static you get from women because they always argue emotionally. They just pull out the facts and the numbers. And the first thing they're going to say is, who hurt you? Like, somehow that's going to change reality. Because as a man, we know feelings don't matter to reality. You think the gazelle who's having a bad day and he walks up the line, hey, I'm having a bad day, you know, just leave me alone. Hell no. No. As soon as that lion sees the gazelle, it doesn't care if it's having a good or bad day. The lion's fucking hungry. And it's on.